What a lovely evening to be together as God's people and to enjoy His creation. We're so thankful for the body of Christ and for His sustained faithfulness to us. All those weeks where we've been separated and apart, and even when we've been able to gather at times, we've not been able to sing and to see faces. But we're so grateful. I'm so thankful to be with each of you and to celebrate the body and to celebrate worship. We're very thankful for our operations staff, for Chris White and for Hallie Mary and others who work tirelessly to provide not only an environment for us to gather, but a safe place. And we're very thankful. Let's give them a hand and all of our deacons and ushers that have worked so tirelessly through these weeks. Thank you also for your patience with us as we've sought to be very careful to honor the Lord, to work with the local authorities, to care for each person and to care for our community. And thank you for your patience as we've walked through some really unprecedented times together. We are here just to take a deep breath and say thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for taking care of us. Thank you for keeping us together. Let me just pray right now. I'm just so overwhelmed with so much joy and thankfulness. And children, I want you to know I'm so thankful to see you. I'm so thankful that you're here. You're never a bother to us. And in worship, you're a blessing. And we're so thankful for you as well. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, that we can, as your body, just pause and experience your grace in a new way. Be reminded that in the midst of our disorientation, in the midst of our fears, in the midst of unprecedented confusion, you're not confused, our Father. You care for us, and you continue to make sure that we are cared for. Thank you for another Lord's Day to be reminded that you've not forgotten us, your people, and that you have a word for us. And Lord, we check in with you because you're always checking on us. Make this experience now a reminder to us that we belong to you and that you will take care of everything that we need. Again, thank you for the body of Christ, for those that serve us so well. We thank you for our children's ministry, our nursery ministry. We thank you for each family here. We thank you for those that are at home checking in, being reminded that they're a part of your body. Those that feel isolated, be near to them as well, we pray. And then give us something from your word, even in the brief time that we have to look into your word. Thank you that your word is rich and fills our hearts with delight and reminds us, Lord, that man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We receive your word by your Spirit. Teach us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to those who just have felt really stuck. Those who think that they've hit a wall in their relationship with Christ, or they've been questioning why, Lord, things that have been so painful, walking through confusion. I want to just speak directly to you. I felt like the Lord gave us a little mini-series these last 2 weeks in the book of Ephesians as we've looked at prayer and thanksgiving and petition. And we're reminded that to live the Christian life is to live the praying life. That prayer is not a burden. Prayer is the place where we unburden all that holds us down. And if you feel stuck tonight, if you feel confused, this last several months has been so disorienting to so many of us, and we have felt stuck and confused. We've talked about that these distortions grow by either a distorted view of ourselves. We even view prayer in a distorted way where we think that prayer is making ourselves acceptable to God, or it's extra work that we have to do to gain God's favor. We talked today about a distorted view of God, that when we come to prayer and we don't understand that God is powerful and God is purposeful in all that He does, and He's personal and He's involved in our lives, then it causes us to be disoriented. But I want to talk to you about when you feel stuck in your circumstances, when you feel that things around you are happening that you cannot control, and you know you've got to trust God, but you find it very difficult to trust God. What happens when that obstacle, what happens when that disappointment, what happens when that question is so big you can't even turn to God and you can't even pray? Well, there's a circumstance in 2 Kings that I read this week, and I was so struck by the ministry of Elisha and his ministry in Israel. It's 2 Kings chapter 6. I want to read verses 8 through 23 and three just simple principles from Elisha's response and his guidance to his servant when circumstances are more than you can control. Now, the king of Aram was at war with Israel. This is an enemy of Israel. Aram had taken an approach, a real guerrilla warfare, where they would work the edges of the country. They would find weak cities. They would find out where the soldiers were not available. And in that sneak attack, they would go in and steal supplies. They would take prisoners. And the king of Aram is surprised that he keeps showing up in cities and Israel is prepared. And so he says, "Wherever I set my camp, I find that Israel is prepared. Well, the man of God has sent word to the king of Israel, beware of passing that place because the Arameans are going down there." So the king of Israel checked on that place indicated by the man of God. Time and again, Elisha warned the king so that he was on his guard in such places. But this enraged the king of Aram, that the king of Israel was prepared, that Elisha had pointed out, "Don't put your guard down. Don't play it safe. These are some areas of vulnerability." So the king of Aram said, "Tell me, which is it? Which one of these is on the side of Israel who's undermining me?" And he said, "It's Elijah, the prophet, who is of Israel. He tells the king of Israel the very words that you're speaking in your bedroom." The king of Aram said, "Go find out where he is. I want to send men and capture him." And the report came back, "He's in Dothan." Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. Now this would appear Elisha's been preparing the king of Israel for these sneak attacks. And it appears the servant comes to Elijah and he said, "Well, we're not prepared. They've surrounded our city." The servant came to the man of God and he went to him the next morning. "An army with horses and chariots have surrounded us." He said, "Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?" The servant asked. Elisha said, "Do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. As the enemy came down toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, "Strike this army with blindness." So he struck them with blindness, as Elijah had prayed. Elijah then told him, "This is not the road and this is not the city. Follow me, I will lead you to the man that you're looking for." And he led them to Samaria. After they entered the city, Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men so they can see." Then the Lord opened their eyes and they looked, and there they were inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elijah, "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," said Elijah. "Would you kill those you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and go back to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. This is the enemies. And after they finished eating and drinking, he sent them away and he returned them to their master. And then the narrator notes, so the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. I find this instructive because Elisha finds himself and his servant finds himself unprepared. He's now surrounded and the attack has come to him. And the servant says, you've been preparing the king of Israel and now you're unprepared. Maybe you feel that way. You've been serving the Lord. You've been seeking that your children are taken care of. You've been looking out for others' interests. And then you find a place of vulnerability in your own life. And you find yourself being attacked. And you want to say, Lord, why are you not protecting me? Well, three principles that I want you to see tonight. Important lessons when you feel that the circumstances in the spiritual battle have overtaken you. First, never forget that divine support and protection is always available, even though it may be there for your testing. Divine support, divine protection is always available. In verse 16, Elisha said, do not be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with him. Fear can be blinding, and fear often overtakes our perspective, and we lose sight. Elisha, the prophet, was a seer, and he had seen to the protection of Israel many times over. And his servant asked the question, well, what about when we have a need? Will we be protected? And the first thing that he tells him, when you are in a circumstance, Christian, that is overwhelming to you, do not fear. Do not let fear blind you. Always be reminded that those that are with us are greater than those who are with them. In that sense, there's always a divine majority protecting you. And this is speaking of spiritual angelic protection. It's the reference to this reality that we live between two realms, the realm of what we can see and the realm of what we cannot see. But the realm of what we cannot see has a powerful impact on the realm, and that's what it means to be a Christian. We believe that the powerful hand of God is protecting us. Angelic presence, when we're facing difficulty, never fear. Divine support and protection is near. Principle number two, note this about your circumstances. God gives you permission to have a positive expectation on the outcome. Now, you might hear that as, that's just a personality type, Mike. There's some of us that are realists, and we know how bad things might be. And you're telling me that when I face a circumstance that's beyond my control, that I should expect a positive outcome. I'm telling you that not because of the type of temperament you have. I'm telling you that not because I can guarantee what you might face. I'm telling you that because God is your heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit is with you, and He gives you permission, even in the worst circumstances, to expect a positive outcome. And Elisha prays, open his eyes, speaking of the servant, that he may see. You know, it is true that disappointments may be around the corner, and we may not be able to control things that are coming in the future. But we can always expect a positive outcome. We can always ask the question, Lord, what do you have for me to learn here? Lord, what are you preparing me for? Lord, what can I anticipate? I want you to know, lavish grace for the Christian means that in your deepest hurts and in the pain that you're feeling right now, I want you to know you've been told God has a positive outcome on the other side of this. It may not feel this way. You may not be able to see it. But Elisha prays for his servant. And God, through the Holy Spirit, prays for you. Open her eyes. Open his eyes. Allow God's positive promise to shape your expectation. And then the last thing, Principle number three, divine support is available. A positive outcome can be anticipated. God will provide the tactics and the timing that will bring His glory and your good to the forefront. God will provide the tactics and the timing to bring His glory and good to the forefront. I've been making it a practice these last several months, and I have to do it in repentance, but I'm making it a practice to say, okay, Lord, I can't wait to see what You have prepared out of this disaster. Okay, Lord, I can't wait to see how You're going to bring grace and glory out of what appears to be a disastrous circumstance. The Christian life demands that we expect God to show up and to bring about an outcome in His timing and with the kinds of resources He will bring. It says here that He struck the enemy with blindness. The servant lacked perspective and sight. He prayed that he would see. And then the enemies were blinded. Their ability to harm the people of God was limited. And then what's fascinating is that when God has protected the people of Israel, they in grace turn around, not in revenge, but they in grace offer a bountiful feast to their enemies. Can you imagine the message that that had to send the king of Aram when now he was totally vulnerable? It's really a great message when you finally find yourself in an advantage against another person. Rather than revenge, to look to offer grace, because that's what God would do with you. He would open your eyes. He would protect you and blind your enemies. But always ask the Lord, show me what You have good prepared for me. I mentioned this morning that one of my heroes is Johnny Erickson, and I admire her so much. And Billy Graham asked her one time, have you ever prayed that God would heal you, that you could walk again? You may know that Johnny, at a teenage, had a swimming accident out at a pool, at a lake, and she hit a stump in the lake, and she fractured her spine, and she has been a quadriplegic her whole life. She was angry at first, and then after coming to Christ, she began to ask that question, should I pray for God to heal me? And at times, she said she offered that prayer to the Lord. Would You heal me? Could You use me if I could declare to others that You've healed my body? But she said that later in her life, she told Billy Graham, I have found sometimes God's best answers are no. Because indeed, if we received everything that we prayed for, all our wants and wishes and desires, I don't think it would be God's best. She said that she began to think about all the no's that she experienced over her life, and she began to realize the way that God had met her, the way that God had used her through her disappointments, through her no's, the no's that she had received. And she found herself at the end of her life saying, I'm so thankful that God has not healed me physically. I look forward to walking hand in hand with Jesus in the new heaven and the new earth. But I have learned so much through the no's. That's really been my experience as well. The obstacles, the disappointments, the setbacks in my life. While I've questioned God and I've been off my game for a while, you might say, those are the places where God has met me and taught me the most. Young believer, I want you to know that in your place of pain, God invites you to meet Him. Bitter believer who's dealing with bitterness in your life, God invites you to let go of that bitterness and to invite Him to minister to that place of wound and pain in your life. I want you to know that God has promised us positive personal outcomes, even in our most painful places. Only a Christian can say that. Only a Christian can hope that. Only the Church of Jesus Christ can stare difficulty, disease, even disappointment in the face and say, do your worst, because Jesus has good and glory prepared. I pray that over this holiday time that you'll have a time of reflection. Places where you feel stuck, those disappointments, those obstacles, invite Jesus in. Ask Him to meet you. Ask Him to teach you. Ask Him to change you. I'm going to have a word of prayer, and then Kirk's going to come and sing one last song. Join me in praying together. Dear Jesus, when we see the blindness of this servant, we confess and repent. Lord, we're blind all too often to see and invite Your positive perspective into our lives. Father, we want our tactics. We want our timing. And all too often, Lord, like Johnny, we would only mess it up. We would only miss the message and the meeting. I pray for all of us, Father, in our disappointments and our hurts. Would You meet us? Would You teach us? Would You change us? Lord, this last several months has been disorienting, and yet You've been so faithful. Lord, I trust that You'll use us. You'll make us a house of prayer. You'll strengthen us. You'll cause us to be more empathetic and understanding. You'll allow us to speak and step into places where we can offer a banquet rather than revenge. May this be our story. This is our story, Jesus. For we know You are the one who took on all of those obstacles that we might know blessing and healing. Give us that, we pray, in Your name. Amen.